All right, we're going to get started here, and again, many of you folks know what we do here. This is something that we do about 4 times a year. Not always, sometimes there's a fifth time, maybe always, there's a fifth time during the year when we have this, but quarterly, and roughly quarterly, there is a fifth Sunday of the month, and so we suspend Sunday school, and we want to have a special time of healing. And, you know, this is a liturgy that we go through, and we anoint with oil according to the book of James, and so we're going to head into that. So if you have one of these handouts, you won't be lost. We'll kind of follow it through. And for the bulk of this, you can sit. You can sit even at the point of time when we stand for singing a hymn or a psalm. If you're more comfortable sitting, we certainly understand that. Now, we're here for ourselves, but as you know, one of the staples of the Protestant Reformation is this thing called the priesthood of all believers. So you're here for yourself, but you're also here to be praying for the wholeness of the surrounding community, your family, for others. And we're here. God has placed us here in the city of Troy, so we're going to pray in particular for Troy, for the nations that God has raised us up in. And so this is not just a self-centered thing that we do for ourselves. Come on right in. Don't be shy. Anthony, it's good to see you. Anthony and family, you will need one of these yellow handouts here. And I just mentioned that this is a liturgy, Anthony, that we go through 4 times a year, roughly, and we have a healing service. So as soon as you guys are settled, we'll get settled here. It is Trinity Sunday, by the way, and I have a little graphic design on the cover of the healing service, and we're actually not going to talk a whole lot about Trinity Sunday today, but I did want us to note this really cool Trinity shield here, and it's a good reminder. Oftentimes when we try to help folks understand things, we tell them what things are, and you know, an important part of telling people what things are is every once in a while just really dropping in there, telling people what they're not, right? Helps balance out the understanding. And so this shield here reminds us that the Father is not the Son, and the Son's not the Father, and the Father's not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. And you probably need magnifying glasses to see that, most of you here. And the Holy Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. But then if we look more inwardly here in the diagram, we see that the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And so a helpful reminder that we have unity and we have plurality. And not only do we have plurality, but we have particularity, meaning there's not an unlimited number in the Godhead. There's 3, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And why do I say that? That's important because, you know, in our day and age, there are all kinds of folks who want to do some additions to the Trinity, right? Half of the world, a third of the world is Islamic, and there are movements, and they certainly want to treat Muhammad as a part of the Trinity. I mean, he's elevated to a point that's above Christ. Closer to home, perhaps, are those oftentimes brothers and sisters in the faith who may be Roman Catholic. And the Roman Catholic faith is on the verge, and there's a strong sentiment in Roman Catholicism, I know, I grew up in it, where Mary will become a co-mediator. So she will be elevated to the Trinity. But no. The Bible's pretty clear about there is plurality, but there's a particularity as well. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I thought I would begin with that reminder here. And let's head into our healing liturgy here. And so I'm going to greet you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Grace and peace be with you. Christ taught his disciples to love one another in his community of love, in praying together, in sharing all things and in caring for the sick. They recalled his words, insofar as you did this to one of these, you did it to me. We gather today to witness to this teaching and to pray in the name of Jesus, the healer, that the sick may be restored to wholeness and that all among us may know of his saving power. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among peoples.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name.
And speak of all his marvelous works.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Who was and is to come.
Heavenly Father, you anointed your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and with power to bring to us the blessings of your kingdom. Anoint your church with the same Holy Spirit that we who share in his suffering and victory may bear witness to the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let's confess. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a humble heart, confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. And so let us pray. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves.
In your mercy,
forgive what we have been. Help us to change who we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Now lift up your heads and hear the good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all God's people said,
amen.
What a great and precious promise that is. Our first reading, it's from the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. This coincides with Trinity Sunday as well. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. By the way, in the Gospel of John, he tells us that this is Jesus. And it's a lowercase Lord. It's not Jehovah. If you look in your Bible there, it's the Lord. The L is capitalized, but the O-R-D is lowercase. This is Adonai, the master. John identifies this as Jesus. Above it stood the seraphim. One had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. Righteousness comes from outside of ourselves. The righteousness we have is an alien righteousness, not about us. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips. And your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's stand and sing Psalm 66c.
I am
chapter 4. And again, we don't want to miss the fact that in Isaiah, where we read, there was the depiction, holy, holy, holy. Not an insignificant idea as we come to Trinity Sunday. You'll see something similar here in Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that was sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderclaps and voices. And there were 7 lamps of burning fire before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures had each of them 6 wings. They were full of eyes within and rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now we're turning to Psalm 103. Let's stand.
Bless the Lord, my soul, my whole heart, ever bless his holy.
Like the beauty of a father.
lesson from the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28. These are familiar words to you. Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Did you see the plurality there? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the particularity of that plurality. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And maybe you didn't notice the unity there. In the name, singular. Not in the names, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but in the name, three and one. What we have heard is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This morning, before we come to healing and that prayer time, I want to speak to you about Trinitarian health, if I can call it that. I want to begin by mentioning the fact that, of course, all things are owing to God. Life, godliness, and health. In recent years, I have highlighted the social aspect and the implications of the Trinity, which is something that Reformed churches are really not all that good at. We're kind of like heady people, and we have the supremacy of the intellect. But, you know, God is a social being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're all interacting with each other in perfect harmony all the time. And that's the model for us. If you were here on Thursday night, we talked about that. That the fact that they're one and the group doesn't take precedent over the individual, and the individual doesn't take precedent over the group. The social aspect of the Trinity is enormous. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, we read, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." These are kind of like social things. They're not a whole lot to do with, well, is the person saved or not saved? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion. All that is very noteworthy here on Trinity Sunday. But today, at this healing service, God reveals himself as the God that heals thee, the God that heals you. And that language is right out of the Bible as well. Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. I am the God that heals you. And so in particular here, what I'd like for us to do, just simply recall for a few moments here, recalling to mind, number one, the Father's sovereignty. We talked about that a little while ago here. Didn't we share? But you know what? God's completely sovereign. He's in charge. You're not going to die a day earlier than he has ordained. There's no discharge in that war, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. But you have no power over your own spirit in the day of death. So you can't extend it. He's in charge of that. I want to talk about the Father's sovereignty briefly. I want to talk about the Son's stripes. That provision for healing. And then I want to talk very briefly about the Paraclete Spirit that's given to us. That is the Holy Spirit quickening you to have life. Sovereignty, stripes, and Spirit. All of these come from God. If you were here last week, one of our Old Testament reading was from the book of Ezekiel, and there was this vision in the valley of the dry bones there. And you know what? Physically, they had perfect abilities. They were brought together. They had sinews. So God had worked on them, and those dry bones had sinews. They had muscularity. They were fully functioning. But they had no life in them, no breath in them. It was the Holy Spirit that breathed into them quickening power. And that's when they rose up and became like this great army before God. The Holy Spirit giving quickening power. Maybe that's our need today. You know, maybe we're simply a little bit elderly. We don't want to move anymore. We just want to sit on the couch. The Holy Spirit can help with that. Maybe you're otherwise healthy here today, but you're really lacking any sense of real motivation for getting up and going. All the things that Philip did right after Pentecost. He got up and he ran. The Holy Spirit gives us that. And then there is the Son, and it's right out of Isaiah 53, that great passage of the suffering servant and Son. In verse 5, it says, "With his stripes we are healed." And what that means is that the cross of Jesus Christ, as important as it is for salvation, that lofty theological thing we call soteriology, the study of salvation. How does a person get to heaven at the end? Of course the cross is important, indispensable for that. But the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ goes beyond that, because we're told by his stripes we are healed. The cross has implications, and it has power beyond the narrow confines of, is the person saved? Is the person even righteous? Has the person been justified? The cross has power and implication beyond that. And then, you know, while I was writing this was last Tuesday morning. I was really occupied with some company in town for the bulk of the week here, but I was writing some of this up and putting the service together. It was Tuesday morning, it was. It was about 8:30 in the morning. I looked at my watch. My watch said 1:20. And nothing was moving. This is a new watch. This is my new watch from Walmart. It's pretty much the same as the old one, $8.80. But my watch, it's a little, do you guys really want to hear this? It needed a new battery. I wanted to get a new battery. If you have an old-fashioned watch, changing a battery is quite a task. I mean, you can get that cap off the back, but getting that cap back on, if you know about it, you already know about it. If you don't know about it, it's not worth the time here today, but it was way cheaper to get a new watch at $8.80. According to the old one of these, time had stopped. But I was still alive, and time was still going. My time had not stopped. God had seen fit to keep something else ticking that kept me going. The watch battery had died, but I had not died. And so finally, there is this thing again here. There is the Father's sovereignty. Whatever else fails around me or concerning me, my times are in his hand. There's the Father's sovereignty. Hairs of our head are numbered. Without a sparrow that falls from the sky without his awareness. Are you not worth more than sparrows, Jesus says? And so our days are numbered. Who here willed themselves into existence? I'm glad I don't see any hands. Right? Not a one of us willed ourselves into existence. The other side of the coin is this, the reminder that there is no enemy that is formed against us, that will prosper. Even that which does take us out has been decreed in terms of what it is and when it happens by God. In terms of what it is and when it happens is decreed by God. That enemy formed against you is not prospering. It's not winning. It's serving God and his purposes for your life. Our times truly, literally, are in his hands. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus, 415 in your red hymnal. 415. God the Father, your will for all peoples is wholeness and salvation.
We praise and bless you, Lord.
God the Son, you came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly.
We praise and bless you, Lord.
God the Holy Spirit, you make our bodies the temple of your presence.
We praise and bless you, Lord.
Holy Trinity, one God, in you we live and move and have our being.
We praise and bless you, Lord.
Lord, grant your healing grace to all who are sick, injured, or disabled, that they may be made whole.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Grant to all who are lonely, anxious, or depressed, knowledge of your will and an awareness of your presence.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Grant to all who minister to those who are suffering, wisdom and skill, sympathy and patience.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Mend broken relationships and restore to those in distress soundness of mind and serenity of spirit.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Sustain and support those who seek your guidance and lift up all who are brought low by the trials of this life.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Grant to the dying peace and a holy death, and uphold by the grace and consolation of your Holy Spirit those who are bereaved.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Restore to wholeness whatever is broken by human sin in our lives, in our community of Troy, in her leaders, especially Mayor Patrick Madden, in our state and especially Governor Cuomo, in our nation and especially President Biden, and finally, in the world.
Hear us, Lord of life.
You are the Lord who does mighty wonders.
You have declared your power among the peoples.
With you, Lord, is the well of life.
And in your light do we see light.
Hear us, Lord of life.
Heal us and make us whole.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read from the book of James our instruction here for conducting this healing service, and after which we will head right into that. From James in chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing the psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. At this time, I'm going to ask the elders if they would come forward, and Brother Michael is going to be leading us here in terms of praying and administering the oil for those who come forward for prayer. And so, let us make our way forward to the elders who come.
Thank you.
Let us stand together and in confidence let us pray to the Father for the coming of the kingdom among us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness,"
has caused his light to shine within us,
to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God,
revealed in the face of Jesus Christ.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels
to show that the power belongs to God.
May you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.